Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning. Todd Zwillick filling in for Celeste this morning in New York. It's time for some takeouts on the stories we're following today. First up, story of a big bank looking out for the little guy. You serious? Well, Louise Story is here from the New York Times, as she is every morning. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Todd.
Louise, Bank of America says it's ready to voluntarily do away with overdraft fees on your debit card. Those some of the smoke and mirrors that banks used to use to make a lot of money off the little guy. Of course, this could also help Bank of America's faltering reputation. So the question is, a big bank helping the little guy or a big bank helping itself by helping the little guy?
Well, there's some of both, but, you know, this is what people talk about as the $40 cup of coffee. You just overspend, right, by a dollar for a $5 cup of coffee, and you get this $35 charge. It's infuriated a lot of people, and, you know, the Fed is going to require banks to let customers opt in to these sort of fees starting this summer. So Bank of America is getting ahead of this a little. Citigroup already did something similar. Citigroup is not charging overdrafts for debit card purchases or ATMs anymore. Bank of America made a change in its ATM recently. Now what it does when you go into the ATM for Bank of America is it says, we will charge you a fee if you go over. Do you want us to go over? So this is all the banks facing the music a little, addressing consumer anger.
So when the crackdown on big banks and credit cards first happened, the banks said, we need to play some of these shell games with consumers on credit cards and their interest rates and on overdraft fees, or else we can't stay profitable in the consumer credit and consumer bank account business. Do they now think they can stay profitable without the shell games?
Well, I don't know if they explicitly said we have to rip people off, but certainly these...
Well, on 60 Minutes, I think they did, if my memory serves, but not, they didn't say rip off, of course, but they said that these business practices are essential.
These fees are a big part of their earnings. Banks generate about $20 billion from these sorts of fees. The thing is, they're giving these up, but we all need to watch where they're going to make it up.
Right.
So, you know, they have certain profit expectations. They have shareholders who, you know, pound the table for profits. And so other places that they're already adding fees, including, you know, taking away free checking, charging you an annual fee on your credit card or monthly fees on your checking accounts, and those sorts of fees will hit all of us. Whereas, you know, these overdraft fees, generally 93% of the overdraft fees were paid for by just 14% of people. Most people don't go over. So what they're seeming to do is move away from ridiculous eye-popping fees on a few people to smaller fees on all of us. It's kind of a democratization of fees.
Spreading the pain a little wider.
Spreading the pain, but maybe making it a little bit more transparent. So they're telling us all, we're charging you for your checking account now. It can't be free anymore. Whereas these other ones seemed tricky to people, and that's what really caused the bailout anger among people, is when they would feel like the banks are tricking them with fees they weren't expecting.
And some of that tricking was in fine print or complicated language, and one thing the new laws are supposed to do is simplify all that, make it more transparent. With some of the fees in the credit card world and some of them in the no more free checking world or some of them in the debit card world, is there one place where a consumer can know exactly what they're going to be charged, or do you still have to read hard in lots of different places?
Well, if you look at your statements, they are putting more disclosure and they're supposed to be moving to a lot more transparent, easy to read language. And there's even disclosure now around what the credit card law is requiring. And so you can look at your bill and find it there. I've looked at mine. I think it's still a little tricky to understand some of this, but they are supposed to push
even
in the transparent direction.
Even me.
Sorry, a little tricky for Louise Story of the New York Times. It's going to be a lot tricky for the rest of us, I fear. Louise Story from our partner in the New York Times. Bank of America playing it straight on overdraft fees, John.
And the headline is your card gets declined when you're buying the milk at the supermarket. Right. Hey, Louise, I know you're not into sports, but I was looking at this survey yesterday. Guess how much employers expect to lose during March Madness because their workers are going to be focused on the basketball tournament?
$5 billion.
It's something like $2 billion, something
wow,
like that, almost two
that's,
billion.
That's bailout kind of money.
Yeah, fortunately, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is here to talk about the sports of the March Madness NCAA tournament. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
So, first of all, you know, the Big East tournament is on. It's like the last of the sort of big tournament pre-sort of dramas before the NCAA tournament gets underway. What happened yesterday between St. John's and UConn?
Well, it's the story of the good and the bad in Connecticut, because while the women have won their 72nd game and they're the best consecutive winning streak in the history of women's basketball, the men are in a state of disarray. They lost big to St. John's last night. It was 73-51. That's not a good score. Not when you're coming in, you guys, Connecticut was touted as one of the better teams. Their leading scorer had only 4 points and nine turnovers. His name was Jerome Dyson. And Kemba Walker, who's also a great player for UConn, he had only 12 points, and they committed 20 turnovers throughout the whole game. So it was really an ugly game. On the flip side, St. John's, Sean Evans had 19 points and 10 rebounds. They had lost a bunch of games, but this is the thing about the Big East. The Big East has about six teams that are legitimately could win the tournament, and any given team at any given point could win the entire tournament. So it's probably the most exciting tournament in the country.
And for St. John's fans who haven't had any good news in years, this was a big game for them last night. And you know, are they going to make it into the tournament?
That is definitely a big question.
That's a big question. It's a question for both St. John's and UConn at this point.
Precisely.
Right?
Well, UConn is definitely out of the tournament. I think that's pretty much a consensus and understood. Now they're wondering, are they going to get an NIT? Because there's about nine teams in the Big East that could legitimately go to the Big Dance, and that's what happens when you're a major conference like the Big East. You know, you can have five losses, you can have eight losses, you can still get in the tournament.
You know, finally, does this sometimes favor these independent teams like Gonzaga, who don't have to go through these bruising regional tournaments before they get to the NCAA?
It's a great question. The Big East champion, or the champions of like the Big Ten, the Big East, the Big 12, they don't normally go on after winning their tournament and then go on to success automatically, because they get beat up and they get bruised in the tournament. But you get a team like Siena out of the MAC conference, and St. Mary's and Old Dominion. Those are teams that are in. They already know they're in. They can prepare now.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, how much have you saved for retirement? Is it a paltry sum? You're not alone. Stay with us.